about mastery. Mastery, mastery. Extremely important. In life, it is important you become a master of something. See, God has ordained us unto glory. God has ordained us to glorious, wonderful things. There is no limit to what we can become. There is no limit to what we can achieve. But this world only has room for those who have mastered their trade, who have mastered this life. Mastery is the single most important factor for success and the full unleashing of divine purposes on the earth. The Bible said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. I am talking about mastery. It says, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So mastery is something that we should strive for as a people. Life favors those who have mastered the factors that make for progress and impact. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. God says that, seest thou a man diligent in his business? Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall not stand before me, men. The Bible says that he shall stand before kings. We shall only stand till there is a place amongst the great that is reserved for those who are diligent in their business. We have seen many Christians becoming inferior in the race of life and in the various interactions in this life, both in school, in the marketplace, in politics, everywhere. And it is the secret is because we have not learned to master this life. We are glorified. God has put us into a place of glory. God has put us into a place of significance by his special mercies and grace. And it is about time, as a people, we learn to understand that we don't just enter into those provisions of God. We must actually work our way into them, having received grace from God. Mastery is not a birthright, it is an attainment. Mastery is not a birthright, it is an attainment. Mastery is not a confession, as many Christians will do. Mastery is an exhibition. It is something you show. It is something you exhibit to those that are around you. Mastery is not just a desire. Mastery, it is a commitment that you give to yourself. Hallelujah. Mastery is not a birthright. It is not something that only is for a certain people, a certain family. Mastery, it is an attainment. It is something that you must work towards. It is something that you must discipline yourself to achieve. The glorified will only attain to the full potential of the God life through mastery. Without mastery, you cannot attain to the full potential of the life that God has designed for you. In this session, I want to quickly talk about five areas that we must master. Five areas of this life that we must master. Hallelujah. Quickly, in the next 30 minutes, I am doing this. Five areas of this life we must master. If you will matter in this life, it does not matter where you are. Mastery will make a great man even out of the village. Mastery will make a great woman even out of the woods. It does not matter where you find yourself. Mastery is the greatest advantage a person can have in the race of this life. Mastery. The first mastery I want us to discuss is the mastery of the word. Becoming a master of the word of God. Becoming a master of the word of God. The word of God is the focal point of our lives. The word of God is the manual by which we live. The word of God is the manual by which our lives are ordered. Hallelujah. My God, the word of God, both the written and then the revealed. Both the written and the revealed. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Let it abound in you in all wisdom, in teaching, in admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. Let it abound. Let it abound. Let it abound in you. Let it dwell in you richly. You must become a master of the word if you will be able to master this life. Because the word of God, it is the manual by which your life is ordered. How do we gain mastery in the word? Three things. Number one, we gain mastery in the word by consistent study and meditation. Consistent study and meditation brings mastery in the word. We have come into a generation where everybody feels he is a master of something, to have opinion about everything. And because of that, if you are light, if you don't know the word, you are like the one the Bible calls that person who is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Whatever anybody says moves you. Anything that people say moves you. You are not able, you don't have grounds, because you are not a master of the word. Consistent study, consistent meditation will bring you into a place of mastery. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. So there is a certain kind of approval we must have with God. It's a certain kind of approval you must have with people. It comes through studying. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You will meditate. Day and night you will meditate in the word. Day and night. And you will observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you shall have good success. So prosperity and good success lies with the man who has developed mastery in the word. Prosperity and good success lies with the one who has mastered the word, who has mastered the mind of God, who understands how God works, how God operates. My God. Another way we gain mastery in the word is by consistent connection with ordained teachers. Consistent connection with ordained teachers. Not everyone is ordained to instruct in the word of God. Not everyone is ordained to instruct in the things of God. You can listen to everybody, but your mastery in the word lies with an ordained teacher that you connect with. In Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, the word of God says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God says, he himself will give us pastors, he will give us pastors according to his heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So there are ordained teachers that God brings your way so that you will gain mastery in the word of God. There are ordained teachers that God connects to us. In Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20 and 21, he says that, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet, I love this scripture, yet, in Corinthians, the Bible says that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. So though there is adversity and there is affliction, yet God gives them a way of escape. And what does that mean? Says, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into the corner anymore. But your eyes, my God, your eyes shall see thy teachers. Though you have adversity, though you have affliction, but it says that you will not remove the teachers from you. You will not be removed into a corner. Your eyes will see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word and keep saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Hallelujah. That means that it does not matter where we are in this life. The most important provision that God will give you is an ordained teacher who will speak to you a word, instructing you on what to do. A way of escape, your solution always lies with an ordained teacher, an ordained instructor in the word of God. I pray that God will keep you in close proximity with your ordained instructor. May you, in your darkest moments, may you not miss the voice of your instructors. In the name of Jesus Christ, in your darkest times, in your confusion, may you not miss the voice of your instructors. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Number two, mastery. Number two area of mastery that we must have. Number two area of mastery is mastery of time. Mastery of time. Extremely important. Time is the wind of all activities on the earth and the heavens. Time. If you will go to school, it is connected to time. If you will work, it is connected to time. If you will marry, it is connected to time. Whatsoever you do is connected to time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. It is important to understand time, because the understanding of time will give any person whatsoever, it will give any person advantage in the rest of life. But to understand time, they don't need to be Christians, but they will have advantage. Time is the common denominator of all men. Time is the common denominator of all men. It is that one thing that if you know how to control, you will have advantage. Time. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Of the men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, Bible says the heads of them were 200 and their brethren were at their command. Why? Because they understood the times. They understood the times. They knew what the entire Israel ought to do. They understood the times. There are several time zones that we must master. I have written four of them here. There is the Chronos time, which is the normal arrangement of duration, the normal duration of time that we are exposed to. There is the Chronos time, chronological time, sequential arrangement of time. In the Chronos time, there is a time to go to school. There is a time to finish. After finishing, there is something that is also arranged for you afterwards. And if you don't understand how to manage the Chronos, you will always miss it in life. There is a reason university is 4 years. If you do it in 5 years, you are missing something. There is a reason SHS is 3 years. If you do it in five, you are missing something. You should be able to understand what goes into being 30 years old. You should be able to understand what goes into being 25. You should be able to understand what goes into what it means to be 40 years. Because every time has a certain chronological arrangement of events attached to it. And the one who has gained mastery over time, he is able to use time to his advantage. There is a Kairos time, which is a divine interruption in the course of the chronos, so that God will reset and realign certain things to be able to perform His will. We engage the chronos through prayer. We engage chronos through prayer. Extremely important. Everybody at a point has to engage the chronos. Sometimes certain things will not happen in your favor, but you have to learn how to parry with God. You have to learn, like the Bible said in Joel, you have to learn how to parry with God to restore the years that the locust have eaten, the years that the palmer worm have eaten. You have to learn how to parry with God to restore the time and to take hold of the opportunities that are lost. There is what I call prime time. Everybody on this earth is connected with a prime time. We all have 24 hours, but we don't have the same 8 o'clock. Somebody's 8 o'clock is connected to his body in a particular way. There is something he can do, but you cannot do that same thing in the same 8 o'clock. Because though we have the same 24 hours, we were born in different times within the 24 hours. So when you were born begins your duration. It begins your counting of the 24 hours. The 24 hours is not necessarily 6 a.m. for everybody. You must get in touch with yourself to understand your prime time. You must understand the way your body has been created, the way your body has been framed, to know the best times to do the things you are supposed to do. I remember those days when we were in school and we had to go for prep meetings and things. You know, the system is such that everybody is pushed into living in a particular time zone. But if you come to understand prime time, you will realize that the time that is favorable for somebody to learn, that same time will not be favorable for you. You must identify your own favorable time. The time that is favorable for somebody to pray, it may not be the same. There is a difference with congregational activities. Those ones are hinged into spirit time, which is the fourth time zone, spirit time. When a people come together in one accord, Bible says that where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. So there is another time zone that we engage, we activate. When we come together, we connect into a different time zone called the spirit time, where we begin to align and move with the activities of the heavens. We begin to align and we begin to move with the activities of the heavens. It is called spirit time. So times when we congregate together to pray, that is not the time you find another thing to do. You miss out on a certain level of access into the heavens. And it is only those who have mastery over time, who understand how to navigate through life. Hallelujah. So the chronos time is important. Kairos time is necessary. The prime time is very key. And the spirit time is extremely essential. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the number three. Number three area we must master. The ways of the glorified is the ways of mastery. You must identify areas of your life that you must master. Refuse to be weak in the areas that determine who becomes a champion in this life. Refuse weak excuses. Don't give yourself the excuses that makes for inferiority. Don't give yourself the excuses that makes people lose out on this life. Don't seek, strive to become a master. Number three area of mastery is mastery of strategy. Mastery of strategy. A lot of Christians are not strategic. A lot of people are not strategic. They don't know how to mobilize resources. They don't know how to negotiate their way through several situations to emerge victorious. Processes and methods abound in the life cycle of every activity. And it is those who understand processes and methods and are able to influence them to their advantage. They are those who are masters of strategy. Masters of strategy are those who are able to influence processes and methods to their advantage. Look at what the Bible said in Luke. Luke chapter 14. Reading from the verse 28 to 31. Luke chapter 14.
For which of you, this is Jesus talking, and he's teaching strategy. Jesus is talking and he's teaching us strategy. Intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the costs. My God. Welcome on board, Apostle Seth Obemesa. God bless you, man of God. God bless you for joining in. Says, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down, counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all that beheld it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And he goes on to say, what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to beat him that cometh against him with 20,000? Strategy is extremely important in this life. It is one of the areas that we must master. David understood process, and hence he knew how to ascend to the throne. Joseph mastered strategy. He could work from the pit. He could work from the prison. He could work his way through strategic means into the palace. Moses understood strategy. He undertook the biggest negotiation in history, negotiating the emancipation and freedom of about 4 million people. He stood before the greatest king, and he knew how to unleash his arsenals one after the other until the king came to a point of giving up and then giving in. He knew how to engage people in high places. He knew how to negotiate. Jacob understood strategy, and it brought him his breakthrough. This is a guy who worked with his uncle. He was not in any favorable position, but one day he woke up, went to his uncle, and then he began to negotiate his exits. A lot of us are desperate. We are suffering because we don't even know how to negotiate our exits. We don't know how to negotiate exit from places. We don't know how to negotiate exit from workplaces. We don't know how to negotiate exit from organizations. Jacob knew how to negotiate his exits, and when he exited a rich man, he exited a prosperous man. I have seen many people who have left places broken. They have left their places and they became desperate with nothing because they don't know strategy. They don't understand processes. They don't understand how to deal with people in power, how to deal with people in positions. They don't know how. One thing you must understand when it comes to strategy is that strategy is hinged on consultation. It is hinged on mentorship. It is hinged on counsel. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 verse 22, without counsel purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. The person who is a master of strategy is the one who knows how to engage counsel. He's the one who knows how to engage mentorship. Men and women who are masters of strategy, they don't lack choices, they don't lack solutions, because they are always engaging counsel. Another demand of strategy is that strategy demands that you understand protocols. My God. Strategy demands that you understand protocols. Protocols are the structures that determine the functionality and the usefulness of a system. They work in such a way that sometimes undermines norms. Sometimes protocols, strategic minds are those who are able to align with protocols in order to have advantage. Strategic minds. Imagine Daniel serving as a prime minister under an ungodly king. There were protocols in the kingdom he understood. Though he was a man of God, he was able to work successfully under an ungodly king. He understood protocols which were not necessarily the norm of his faith, but strategic minds know how to engage protocols even when they are against the norms of their faith. My God. There are 5 protocols that I want you to master, learn to master. It is important as Christians that you become masters in this life. 5 protocols you must master. Number one is the protocol of honor. Protocol of honor. I wouldn't talk much about that. It is self-explanatory. A lot of us in our generation don't know how to honor people. We think that by praising people, we are honoring them. We think that by sweet-talking people, we are honoring them. No, honor carries a protocol with it. It begins with your own personal judgments when you are alone in your thoughts over that person. How do you judge the people you praise with your mouth when you are alone? That is where it begins. The protocol of honor. Number two protocol you must master is the protocol of your body. A lot of us despise our bodies, but we forget that your body is the key to the achievements of this life. If you will become rich, if you will become a master in your workplace, even in ministry, whatsoever you can accomplish, you cannot accomplish them outside of your body. Your body is necessary. You must learn how to take care of your body. You must learn how to take care of your body. Know the things that your body does not welcome into itself. Know the things that are not good for your body. My God, my God. Know the things that are favorable to your body. My God. There are a lot of people, we eat anything that we get. We do not observe protocols that brings our body rest and positions our body. Listen, I remember sometime God told me something. There are certain foods, there are certain nutrients, there are certain provisions that he has made in nature for your body to have its optimum ability to think. If you despise those things, grace will not atone for what you despise in the natural. Grace will not supply to you what God has made available, which you have despised. Learn to take care of your body so that you can always be in your maximum elements when you are operating and when you are performing. I know a lot of Christians who will eat so heavy and sleep when it is prayer time. You should understand the protocols of your body. You should know for the performance you want what you should do to your body. That is not to mean that you should give into all manner of aphrodisiacs and all manner of, you know, enhancements, medicines, which eventually destroys the body. But you must learn to engage the provisions of God that brings your body into perfect performance and optimum, maximum performance. Number three protocol you must master is the protocol of association. The protocol of association. A lot of people have great men and women surrounding you, but you don't know how to assess them. You don't know how to associate with them. Your mentor is not your friend. When you have an opportunity with your mentor, that is not the time to talk about something in the newspaper. It is the time to glean wisdom. Leave the newspaper discussion to your friends. Protocol of association. A lot of us are abusing association, and we are looking for solutions that are very close to us. You know, sometimes we have the opportunity of receiving the presence of great people who have achieved many things that we are yet to ever even achieve with our lives. But because they are down to earth, because they appear friendly, we also turn them into friends instead of gaining wisdom, instead of receiving inspiration. The protocols of association. Know how to relate with mentors. Know how to order yourself in the room of great men. I used to make a joke with certain people that in our generation, we are so absorbed into ourselves to the point that even when we have a chance to spend 10 minutes with the greatest human being on this earth, we will seek to take photos with him and not even ask him any question. Protocols of association. Number four protocol you must master is the protocol of the kingdom. You must understand that as believers, we belong to a kingdom, and the kingdom of God carries protocols. There are ways we do this. There are ways we get this done. Understand the protocols of spiritual warfare, protocols of prayer, protocols of giving. Understand protocols of service. Extremely important. The protocols of the kingdom. The last protocol I want us to master is the protocol of speech. Oh, many opportunities have been lost because of the speech of our mouth. Bible says, a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken A word. He goes on to say, how forcible are right words? Protocol of speech. There is a way we speak in the palace. There is a way we speak in great places. There is a way we speak in the public. There is a way we speak. Protocol of speech. Some people, you have been undermined, not because people don't like you, but because of what they heard you say. Protocol of speech. I pray that God gives us this wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Protocols are extremely important. We must master them because they determine access. We must master protocols because they determine control. We must master protocols because they determine longevity. How long you stay in a place is determined by the protocols you master. When you learn the protocols of a place, you can stay in there for long. When you keep breaking the protocols of a place, your days are numbered in that place. I have seen people, sometimes we go meet people, they tell you, they will call you. We will contact you once again. When we are meeting again, we will call you. Only for you to realize that meetings are going on and they have not even contacted you. It is possible you have breached protocols in your first attempt. Protocols determine longevity. Protocols determine benefits. May the Lord baptize you with the wisdom of protocols in the name of Jesus Christ. Number four area we must master is the mastery of conduct. The mastery of conduct. One of the biggest oppositions to the ways of the glorified is the loud voice of the flesh. The loud voice of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26 and 27, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under. Paul had desires. You remember in Romans chapter 7, he confessed that the things he wanted to do, he could not do, but the things he did not want to do, that is what he found himself doing. So this is a person who acknowledged that he had desires. He acknowledged he had challenges. He acknowledged he had things he wish he could do if it was left to him alone. But then, because he knew that he was on a journey, he says, I ran, not as uncertainly. I fight, not as one that beats the air. But I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection. I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection. I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection, lest that my enemies, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The flesh has desires which can be contrary to the demands necessary for success and progress, spiritual progress, economic progress, social progress, even physical progress. But there needs to be a conscious discipline in order to keep the flesh under check. There need to be a conscious discipline in order. We are talking about mastering your conduct when you are alone, when you are in a place. Mastering your conduct. It is not everything you desire that you should go after. A lot of us are loose in our choices. We are loose in our desires. Everything that comes to mind, we want to pursue. Everything that enters our heart, we want to pursue. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible said, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So the objective of the flesh is to keep you from the things that you would want to do. My God, you want to fast, you must discipline yourself. You must master your conduct. Master your conduct in the place of plenty. There are some people, when you show them food, you are likely to see their weaknesses. When you show them plenty choices, you will see the greed hidden in them. You must learn to master your conduct, because your conduct can disappoint you. It can disqualify you. Paul admonishes us to die to the flesh. Self-control and discipline are not to be bargained if you want to make the most of life and fully live the God potential we carry. We cannot bargain self-control and discipline. You cannot bargain it. You cannot bargain. Unbridled and uncontrolled desires will always make a slave out of a potential king. uncontrolled desires will make a slave out of a potential king. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. There is a war against your soul. Paul said, abstain. He told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Flee. Don't bargain your way around issues that undermine your sense of uprightness and holiness to the Lord. Don't bargain it. Flee. You must master your desires. There are some people, show them money, all the foolishness hidden in them will show up. Master your conduct so that greatness will not kill you quick. Master yourself. The last thing I want to talk about, the last area of mastery that I want to bring your attention to, ways of the glorified. On this broadcast, we are teaching you how to conduct yourself so that you can become what God has made you to become. The last mastery, area of mastery, the last area of mastery is the mastery of skill. The mastery of skill. The mastery of skill. The mastery of skill. You must become a mighty expert man. You must become a valiant expert man. Everyone is blessed with grace in various kinds of abilities and strengths, whereas others seem to be natural. A large percentage of skills are learned or imparted. And wherever you stand, wherever you fall, it does not matter whether yours is natural or imparted, whether it is natural, inbuilt, inborn, whether it is a family heritage, whatever it is, the skill that is not harnessed amounts to nothing. You must understand something from what, you know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. There is a standard operating system for the earth. And that standard operating system includes favor belongs to the skilled. So sometimes we read that portion of scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. Solomon was not undermining these standards of the earth. He was talking about the superiority of God over the standards, such that despite these things prevailing, there is still that objective superiority that God has over all the standards of this life. So the standards of the earth is such that it is the swift that wins in the race. I am yet to see any race in Olympics which has been won by a child who was crawling. It takes only God to break the norm. But the norm of the earth is that the race is to the swift. The norm of the earth is that the battle is to the strong. We have been watching movies. We thank God we are not in a nation that has been going for war, but we have been watching movies and we have seen the selection criteria. Even in our armies, we have seen the selection criteria. Battle is for the strong, it's not for the weak. Bread is to the wise, it's not to the foolish. Riches accrue to men of understanding, not men of folly. Favor goes to men of skill. I don't know how many of us have applied for certain jobs, applied for certain contracts. We know, unless there is corruption in the process will always favor the skilled because they are looking for skilled people to do their job. Favor responds to skill. The world has endless opportunities for the skilled. What do you know to do? What have you learned to do? What have you been trained to do? Master your craft. Master your skill. Master. If you want to deal with kings, if you want to deal with great people, if you want to stand in the room of greatness, listen to what the king looked for in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Daniel chapter 1 verse 24. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. So there were three groups of people here. A couple of people, a set, they were doing recruitment. Certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. And this is the criteria. Number one, children in whom was no blemish. He's talking about people who have observed the body, the protocol of the body. Not somebody one hand is cut, not somebody this didn't, when he said they had no blemish, he's talking about people who were complete, people who were comely. You remember how Samuel wanted to choose a king when God led him, the prophet Samuel, as soon as he saw Elias, he began to weigh him, and in his heart he said, this is certainly the one God has chosen. So there is a place for comeliness. You can't dress anyhow. There is a place for comeliness. You should understand the protocols of association, know how to appear in places. He says the first one, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, my God, and understanding signs. But who understood signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Ask yourself, do you have ability to stand in the places you desire to go to? Right now, if we call you to the Flagstaff House to present your case, do you have the ability to stand there? Do you have the mannerisms, the communication? Do you have control over the language? That is why we have a lot of inferior people in church, because we are not masters of anything. Those that had ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Hallelujah. You must master your skill. I don't know what you know to do. You are an author, master your skill. You are a music producer, master your skill. You are a preacher, master your skill. You don't stand in front of people and you'll be beating about the bush. Master your skill. You are an engineer. Master your skill. Become the best in your workplace. Master it. Start sacrificing your night sleep. Learn things that they didn't teach you in school. Learn new trends. Master your skill. Become a mighty expert man. Become a mighty expert woman. Tutor yourself on how you can be better at what you do. Skills don't produce by themselves except they are enhanced and utilized. Look at what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 15. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, so that your prophecy will appear to all. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. Do something about the gift. Put it to use. Generate capacity. There is a prophet in. He says that your prophet will appear to all. There is a prophet in. My God, I believe that somebody is blessed today. I believe that somebody is blessed today. You are on a journey to master this life. You are on a journey to master this life. Master the word. Master time. Master strategy. Master your conduct. Master your body. Master yourself. Master your skill. And as you do this and abound in them, the world will not be able to contain you. You will not be weak anywhere you will appear. In your school, workplace, everywhere, in the race of life, in the competition of the marketplace, you will always emerge victorious because you are a master. Because you have mastered the word. You know how to work the word of God. You know how to work time. You know how to work your conduct. You know how to manage your strategies. You know the protocols. You know how to get things done. You know how to handle your way out of situations. You know how to negotiate your way into prominence and relevance. My God, I pray for that wisdom to reach you in the name of Jesus.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
As we receive, we agree. Amen.
Generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children.